ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
युक्तबन्धं नृपथं भगवान् आदिपुरुषा मत्स्यारूपी महं बोधौ विहरं तत्त्वम् अब्रवीत्। Sukadev Goswami continued, when Satyavrat had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, the Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. Purana samhitam divyam sankhya yoga priyavati satyavratasya rajarsher atma guyam aseshataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thus explained to King Satyavrat, the spiritual science known as sankhya yoga, the science by which one distinguishes between matter and spirit, in other words, bhakti yoga, along with the instructions contained in the Puranas and the Samhitas. The Lord explained himself in all these literatures. Ashroshya drishibhi sakam atma tattvam asamshayam navyasino bhagavata proktam brahma sanatanam. While sitting in the boat, King Satyavrat, accompanied by the great saintly persons, listen to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regard to self-realization. These instructions were all from the eternal Vedic literature, Brahma. Thus, the king and the sages had no doubt about the absolute truth. Atita pralayapaya uthithaya sadhedese advasuram hayagrivam vedam pratyaharadhari. At the end of the last inundation, during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead killed the demon named Hayagriva and delivered all the Vedic literatures to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleeping. Satu Satyavrato Raja Jnana Vijnana Samyata Vishnu Prasad Hatkalpe Smin Asid Vaibhashvato Muni Manu. King Satyavrat was illuminated with all Vedic knowledge by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, and in this period he has now taken birth as Vaibhashvato Manu, the son of the sun god. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his verdict that Satyavrat appeared in the Chakshusha Manvantara. When the Chakshusha Manvantara ended, the period of Vaibhashvato Manu began. By the grace of Lord Vishnu, Satyavrat received instructions from the second fish incarnation and was thus enlightened in all spiritual knowledge. Satyavratasya Rajasher Maya Matsyasya Sargnikina Sambhadam Maharakyanam Sutvamuchyeta Kirvashat. This story concerning the great king Satyavrat and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of all sinful life.
Hareyo yam kiratae ranvaham naraha sankalpastasya siddhanti sajhati paramam gatim.
One who narrates this description of the Matsya incarnation in King Satyavrat will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled, and he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. Narration explains the coming of the first of the great and famous incarnations of the Supreme Lord as a Leela avatar, performing pastimes in this material world. Das Avatar, the 10 most primary Leela Avatar. A Leela Avatar is when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into this material world to perform wonderful, wonderful pastimes, unexcelled by anyone but himself. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to this world, we must understand that he is Abhigya Swarat. He knows everything, and he is fully independent to act in any way he wants. There is no limitation, there is no restriction as to what is possible or impossible for the Supreme Personality of God. In regard to this, when we were recently in Malaysia on the ocean side, one very sincere soul inquired, "Do you really believe that Krishna could be blue? How is it that anybody could be blue?" Do you remember that question? But it was asked with a sincere desire not to challenge, but to try to understand. Because it's beyond our comprehension how anyone can be blue. We have seen red people. In America, there are the red Indians. The Chinese are said to be yellow. In Africa, they are black. In Scandinavia, they are very white. In India, you are various varieties of tan colors. But nowhere have we seen anyone blue. So therefore, if we can't be blue, no one can be blue. Isn't that our conclusion? So do you really believe that this Krishna could actually be a blue cowherd boy? Could anyone possibly be a blue cowherd boy? So I think we just looked up into the sky and looked at the stars. Can you think of any one of us that could create all these universes and all these beautiful stars and the vast, vast sky and all species of life and the beautiful moon and the ocean and all the aquatics in the ocean and all the vegetation on earth and how everything is working so perfectly and in order? Could any of us do like that? For someone who can create this entire universe effortlessly, certainly, it is not very difficult for him to appear with a blue form. For Krishna to lift the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand, it seems impossible to the atheist. For one who has faith in the inconceivable power of God, there is nothing that we can hear that makes us doubt whether God could do it. Krishna says in Gita that all the wonderful things you see in this world are just the spark of my glory. If someone in the running running games, if he runs very fast and breaks some record, people think, "Oh, we didn't think anyone could possibly do that." So we're very surprised when a human being can do something that's a little beyond our comprehension. What to speak of God, who has created everything? There is a story about a magician here in India. You have heard of P.T. Sakara? You know that story? He invited all the big people of the high seats of government during the British reign. He invited them to Mathura for a performance. He said, be there at 4 o'clock sharp and I will perform a wonderful miracle, magical trick that you've never seen before. So all these big people, mayors, governors, people from the royal family, they came. And of course, British people are very proud of being very prompt. That's one thing that the Indians never adopted from the British. Drinking tea, smoking beedies, these things they quickly assimilated, but being prompt, they never really were able to follow in the footsteps. So 4 o'clock came, he did not come. 4:30 came, still did not come. By 4:45, they were furious. They were ready to hang him if he came. Finally, effortlessly, casually, like nothing happened, he just strolled onto the stage at 5 o'clock. By that time, there was an uproar of people shouting abuses at him, threatening his life. He said, "What is the trouble? What is the trouble? You're an hour late. We dropped all of our important government work to be here, and you wasted 1 hour of our time." He looked at his watch. He said, "What do you mean 1 hour late? It's exactly 4 o'clock. And everyone in the audience, they looked at their watches, and their watches said, 4 o'clock. It's a true story. So what is an ordinary materialistic magician can do like that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story narrated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You're late? 10 to 8. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a little explanation of what men can do. This is in the story of the how Krishna wrapped up the whole pastime of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. And actually, nobody even got killed. It was all just an illusion. Huh? So he explains there that one time, a family of magicians, they came to a king and queen in their palace. They said, "Oh, if you show us a nice performance and entertain us, we will reward you well." So what happened is they performed a wonderful, wonderful magic show. And the queen was so happy that she took off her own jeweled necklace and gave it to the mother or the wife of the family. And while she was holding it, thinking, "Oh, how beautiful, what a precious gift, never have I received such a gift," one of the children came and said, "Could I see this?" She said, "No, it is very valuable." The child said, no, please let me see it." So the mother said, "All right," gave it to the child. So there were two children in the family, two sons, little boys. They started playing with it. And they were playing, having very good time with his jet necklace. And then one took it, and the other wanted it. The other took it, the other took it, the other took it. They started getting in a fight. They started arguing who owned it. So one of the children drew a sword, and the other child drew a sword, and they both cut each other's heads off simultaneously. And the heads fell to the floor, and there was blood flowing everywhere. And the mother was thinking, "My God, it's all because of me, because I gave them the necklace that they killed themselves." So she was so much disturbed of what she had did to her children that she picked up the sword and cut off her own head, and her head fell to the ground, and more blood was flowing all over the court. And then the husband was thinking, "What is the use of my life? My women, my wife, my children, they're all dead." So he picked up the sword and cut off his head, and there was blood everywhere and heads everywhere. And the queen and the king and all of their ministers were thinking, "How inauspicious, this is very, very bad." They were so disturbed in their minds. So they called a servant to wipe up all the blood, put the bodies in some boxes, put them in the river. And that night, no one could sleep because they were thinking how inauspicious the situation is. So then the next day, a letter came. And the letter said, "You may remember us. We're that family of magicians. You gave us a nice reward for our first act, but you never gave us any reward for our second act, where we all chopped each other's heads off and died. If you think it was worth a reward, bring it to our house. This is our address." So the queen and the king, they felt very good. "Ah, maybe it's true." So they went to the house, and sure enough, there was the family holding the necklace. They welcomed them very nicely and received another gift. So if ordinary human beings can perform these magical tricks, what is it that God cannot do? Who is the power of the powerful? Who is the strength of the strong? Who is the intelligence of the intelligent? And who is the ability in man? Achintya Shakti. Therefore, when Krishna comes to this world, he is not going to come just like the rest of us. Otherwise, what is the point of his coming? He comes to prove to the world how he is supreme. He comes to prove to the world that our real happiness is in loving him and serving him, attracting our consciousness back to his divine nature. So here we are reading the story of something which, to a person who does not have faith in the inconceivable potency of God, they would have to think that this is simply some sort of symbolic mythology. After all, how is it that God can appear as a fish? I can't appear as a fish, you can't appear as a fish, so how possibly could God appear as a fish? Not only a fish, but a fish that is hundreds and thousands, millions of miles big. But for a devotee, he simply smiles from the core of his heart when he hears, oh, God has appeared as a fish millions of miles big. What is it my God cannot do? How wonderful is Krishna? This faith must be in the heart of a devotee. And this is not blind faith. This is reasonable faith. After all, if you consider how conditioned our minds are, how attached we are to the material world, how difficult it is to become pure in this life. To purify our hearts is a far greater challenge to Krishna than appearing as a fish 10 million miles big. Huh? So if we can't believe that he can do a small thing like come as a big fish, then we might as well confess that we're eternally in a hopeless condition, because who's going to save us? My God, that's a real challenge. But one who turns to Krishna, one who surrenders to Krishna, one who, with all humility and devotion, chants his name, be prepared, be ready to welcome the greatest of all miracles, to transform your life into that of a pure devotee. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was once asked, we have heard this story so many times, can you perform miracle for us? Show us miracle. Because after all, in India there are many miracle men. People who can levitate, people who can create gold, ashes, or other paraphernalia just from the air. People who could read each other's minds. People who can walk on water, who can fly in the sky. These people exist even today. We have personally seen some of these things. It's not a very important thing. But people think that this is what a guru is, someone who can just perform extraordinary magical feats. In other words, they think a guru is a magician, sort of an entertainer, rather than a pure devotee, servant of God. This is misconception. So they ask Prabhupada, can you show us a miracle? Prabhupada looked around at his disciples. A motley lot we were. His disciples, he said, these young boys and girls, not more than a few years ago, they were addicted to every sinful activity. They were eating meat from the first day they were conceived in the womb of their mothers. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. Not only that, but completely materialistic and godless. And now they have sacrificed their life and soul to the loving service of Krishna. Their hearts have changed. This is the greatest miracle. This is a miracle which is worth living to see. This is a miracle worth dedicating our life to experience. And did Prabhupada perform that miracle? Krishna performed the miracle through the divine grace of his surrendered devotee. And the fact is, any one of us who agree to be an instrument in the hands of God and give up our separate interests, we can be the vehicles, the vessels of God's miracles in this world. And the ultimate miracle is to change the heart of a person to love Krishna. That is the great miracle. So when Krishna appears in this wonderful fish incarnation, in one sense, he's coming to give us faith that don't ever think that anything is hopeless because I can do anything. You may think you're in a hopeless condition of life, but have hope. Look what I can do. I can do anything. Just let me do it. Let me do it for you. When Krishna appears in this world, he is simply begging us, let me perform a miracle for you. Let me change your life. Let me fill you with joy, peace, and love. Let me help you transcend birth and death and attain eternal, unmotivated, uninterrupted service to me. He comes begging. So to hear these stories and to understand them is very, very important. But we must understand them from the lips of those devotees who have faith. By hearing from those who have faith, faith will naturally awaken within our own hearts. Madhavendra Puri said, let the materialists talk, let them laugh at me. What do I care? I have complete faith in Krishna. I have complete hope that Krishna can do anything at any time. Therefore, I am his devotee. Srila Prabhupada used to use the example of the frog in the well. The frog living in the well, all he knows is the little bit of water in that well. He was born in that well and he's lived his whole life, and he cannot conceive of anything beyond his well. But then another frog one day just jumped in his well. And the frog said, ah, where are you coming from? I am coming from the Pacific Ocean. Pacific Ocean? What is the Pacific Ocean? It's very big water, so much water, you won't believe how much water. He said, the frog, huh? How much? Is it almost as big as this well? You don't understand. It's very big. He said, what is it, twice as big as this well? Oh no, very, very big. Three times? The frog could only try to imagine his reality on the basis of his well. Therefore, he could never, ever, ever conceive of the Pacific Ocean. So similarly, our conception of reality is the tiny, tiny, insignificant little realm of our own conditioned sense perception. But Krishna is beyond our sense perception. Srila Bhaktipad is preaching very, very strongly these days that you can never understand Krishna. As part and parcel, according to your capacity, you could understand the capacity of how much one drop could understand the ocean. But no one can understand the entirety of the ocean. No one can understand the entirety of Krishna. You can never know Krishna. You can love Krishna,
You can know what you have the power to know, but that is not even a drop of who he really is. Even in the liberated condition, no one knows Krishna. He is all great. He is so great that even Krishna doesn't understand Krishna.
That is why Lord Chaitanya of Mahaprabhu appeared. Krishna was trying to figure out what was so great about himself. With all of his supreme power of imagination, he could not understand how great he really was. What is it about me that attracts Radharani so much?
If Krishna cannot understand Krishna, do you think you can? Therefore, he appeared as Lord Chaitanya to try to understand himself, to try to taste the sweetness of himself. It was sweetness trying to taste itself.
And the amazing thing is, Lord Chaitanya could never taste the full sweetness. The last 12 years of his life, in separation, he was simply longing and longing and longing and longing for more and more of Krishna's sweetness. Huh? In the Shikshastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya is revealing his own, the Supreme Lord is revealing his own mind. That you are inconceivable. In your absence, a moment seems like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. My hair is standing on end. So therefore, we must know the infinite, unlimited glory of God in principle. And therefore, with a very, very open and accepting and faithful heart, we can accept all the authoritative narrations of the Lord's divine pastimes. And when we hear them with this proper approach or proper consciousness, then as we hear them, more and more our love grows. Not that we try to figure out, how did he do it? You see, Krishna consciousness is not attained with your brain. Krishna consciousness can only be experienced with the heart. You can never figure out Krishna. But the more you hear about him with faith, the more you love him. Is there any questions?
Difficulty comes, it is a chance to realize the theoretical faith that you have gathered. Theoretical faith is not enough to cross us beyond this world of doubt. Krishna says, for the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor the next. There cannot be love without faith. And our faith has to be based on realization. Huh? And the realization takes place when the tests come. Until then, they remain theoretical. If you are sincere, when the test comes, just like gold, faith is like gold. Gold is purified by fire. Faith is purified by fire. If you are sincere, your faith will become strengthened and purified in the face of that test. Even though it may be very difficult, the outcome will be self-realization. But if you are insincere, you will give up. You will accept the many alternatives that Maya is presenting before you. Therefore, we must hear about the great souls. And most all the Bhagavatam, most all the Bible, most all the Quran, most all the great scriptures of the world, even the Buddha Sutras, we find are the stories of great souls who live in the face of tests, and how with faith in God they passed. Dhruva Maharaj was thoroughly insulted. Do you know what a test that was for him? What a test Prahlad Maharaj had to go through. His father totally rejected him and hated him and tried to kill him. That's a test, is it not? Imagine if your father did like that. Imagine if your father did what Dhruva Maharaj's father did. These are very horrible, bitter tests. Why do we read about, why are these souls the most celebrated? Because when we hear of how their faith was increased through that difficulty, then we could follow in their footsteps in our own way. Huh? Look at Arjuna and the Pandavas. Look at even Maharaj Satyavrata. He was being tested. The ordinary person could have been very much bewildered. He could have just said, forget you, fish. Right? But he kept performing his duty, even in the most apparently impossible situations. And even in this, even in the life of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, every acharya lived a life of severe tests. Why? They didn't have to. Because by hearing about how they retained their love and devotion and faith in God through the most hopeless situations of life, we could strengthen our own realizations. And when those tests come, we follow in their footsteps. Mahajano yena gata sabanta. If we are sincere, we must follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Therefore, we must associate with sincere persons, hear these wonderful narrations from them, and by digesting that information, when the tests come, we will be prepared. Huh? For realization, we will welcome the test that Krishna, you're so kind, you're giving me a chance to realize all this information finally.
As the test comes, from the test we are able to get a good realization. But the problem which we feel is that the realization will be kept forever not. After some time the realization will be coming down or something. How to see that that realization is kept forever?
As we become pure, the realizations are more and more permanent. It is not cheap. We have to purify our hearts. And how to purify our hearts? By humbly following the instructions of the great souls. Huh? By chanting God's holy name. And by acting as a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other questions?